Hello, America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host, the most Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Chris Logie and Teresa Salmon. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah, so the show's going to be for July 31st, 2021, the last day of July. August starts tomorrow. We are officially in the dog days of summer now. And, of course, the fun part is that starting next month, all the kids are just going to start going back to school.
Yeah, that's been fun to decipher.
Yeah.
Is each individual school district does their own whatever the frick they want with mask mandates or lack thereof.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's basically been 90 degrees across the board all freaking week. Occasionally interspersed with flash rain and sun showers and, you know, all the other kind of weather that you only read about happening in the Bible before, you know, God decides to flood the world or something.
Is not going to be the first time today I say it, but yeah, maybe we are in the end times.
But yeah, anyway, so stuff that happened this week. Well, the Olympics kept happening, and one person from the American team had to withdraw. And unfortunately, for very good reasons, but unfortunately, she was lambasted by a bunch of man children who never actually had to compete for anything in their lives. So, yeah. We got some political news. We have a segment we had thought we had been able to do away with months ago, but unfortunately is having to make a comeback for a couple of very specific reasons. You'll find out why.
Beep, beep.
Yeah. Beep, beep. Everybody make way, because it's coming out of the garage again. There's some drama happening with the MyPillow guy. Specifically, he is pulling his commercials from a very specific network that is a very large part of their ad revenue. And then, of course, we got a bunch of entertainment news, including a lawsuit that a certain star of a certain recently released Marvel movie is having with the studio that released it and their streaming service that they released, apparently without consulting her. And we got a bunch of other stuff go along with that, you know. So all the little bit of nuggets of sweet corn buried beneath piles and piles of shit. So let's get started with, as we always do with this show, and talk about what we've been doing this week. So Teresa, you start us off. What have you been doing this week?
Well, I have been, surprise, surprise, playing an obscene amount of PSO2.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to get, like, at least two or three other jobs up to level 20 before the new Braver job drops, I think, in about a week. I think it's on the 7th. Mm. So doing quite a bit of that. And we're still apparently rewatching all of MASH, because that seems to be what's happening here.
Mm.
And we have been also rewatching Space Force Season 1, which you'll remember, not all that long ago, I was telling you guys was great.
Yep.
And John Malkovich he just slays it. As well as the chopper pilot, I can't remember her name, but she also does the voice of the lead character on Star Trek Lower Decks. And as far as just personal stuff, carried a really heavy-ass table. Holy shit. Down this little walking path from some row houses in Highland Park, which is on the city's north side, in the suburbs that I can't afford to live in. beautiful, beautiful place they had there. Definitely old, but, with character built-ins and some really neat shit, and quite big for what it was. But we dragged that 40-inch round table home. And when we got here, we borrowed a a little floor furniture dolly, you know, the one that has the four wheels and the carpet. Stuck a moving blanket under it and proceeded to pull it by the moving blanket because, you know, who's going to get down 4 inches from the ground and push some shit down a hallway? So we managed to get that upstairs and put in with no hernias. So hopefully that works out. We already had our first house guest over to give it a little whirl about 10 minutes after we got it put up. One of our neighbors came down, so that was nice. Shot the shit. Caught up on all the weird bullshit that's been going on lately in everybody's lives. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Although today, holy crap. And yesterday, holy crap. We were able to open our windows.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Although, I mean, right now it's 80 in here, so it's not super comfortable. But yesterday was goddamn gorgeous. It was like 73 all day. Sorry, I know that sucks. But, whew, it was a relief for us.
That would be a relief for where I live. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, you're not going to see that until December. I joke. I hope I joke. Ooh,
yeah, you joke, but I honestly am not sure.
Okay, well, I'm knocking on some wood. I'm not all that superstitious, but man, I ain't taking any freaking chances when it comes to weather or climate.
Yeah.
So that's about it for me, though.
All right, Chris, what about you?
Yeah, so been doing some stuff, watched Space Jam, A New Legacy, the new movie that they put out on, I guess, in theaters and HBO Max. It's fine. It's not like the terrible movie I've been hearing about, but it's kind of an all right thing. They make lots of references to the various Warner Brothers properties.
Oh, yes.
Which is a bit weird, especially when they just go with the Looney Tunes for the Toon Squad there at the for the game itself. But yeah, it's fine. Nothing really too amazing about it, but it's fine. So yeah, let's see. Also been watching Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. On HBO Max. I've been liking that a lot. I've seen the show, most of the show for the most part. But yeah, still in the first season, and yeah, I've forgotten how much they got political even early on.
Oh, yeah.
A number of aspects of it. Even in the pilot, when Will has his Malcolm X poster, and Uncle Phil tells him by the end that, you know, he went to his rallies, listened to his speeches and all that. They have another episode a few later where they get pulled over by the cops. Will's very much accustomed to how police handle black people. And Carlton is not, and he's left kind of reeling at the end.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. So this show is kind of the fastest I've ever seen get to a clip show. It's like the eighth episode is a clip show.
Yeah, it was pretty, for sitcoms back then, it was pretty common because they weren't always sure if they were going to get renewed for another season towards the end of it. So,
yeah, this was, you know, the eighth and ninth episodes. It's two-parter.
Yeah.
There's an episode's worth of non-clip stuff that they could have just had, but weird thing, but the show itself, really good. It was interesting. They had one of his best friends from Philly coming in, realize it's a very young Don Cheadle.
Yep.
Seeing some of the actors that are in this, I think one of the friends of Carlton at the school is in the Drew Carey show.
Yep.
I think it's like Mr. Bell's nephew who's getting fast-tracked into being a manager, that kind of thing. Which is like, okay, that's very weird that I know that, but that's neat. But yeah, still a really good show, holds up for the most part. There's a couple of things like Carlton using the R word, stuff like that, that doesn't hold up so well. obviously lots of references to things that happened in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. So yeah, it still holds up. As for game stuff, been playing some more Fall Guys, trying to get all of the Ratchet and Clank stuff that's in there. The way that works is it essentially has like a separate list of goals that you should go for.
Mm-hmm.
Each of which gives you points that as you collect them all, you unlock the different items that are available for it. Mm-hmm. I have the last one to go, which unfortunately is locked behind me having to get a win with the squad duos mode,
mm-hmm.
which is where you get matched with somebody else to play with on your team. So it's about 30 teams, I think, essentially, if it gets a full 60.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten close a couple of times. The one that was probably the best opportunity threw me into a final mode that was the tail grabbing game, which is probably the worst one still in the game.
Mm-hmm.
The only real upside is that you have two chances with two people to grab it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it is, I think it's like 60 seconds long. You just have to have the tail at the end. So basically there's, 50 seconds of fucking around. You have to hope that last few seconds you get what you want, the tail. We had it for a good bit of the first part of it, then just never got it back. So that was very annoying, but still working on that. Maybe I'll play some more of that tomorrow and see if I can get it. Also been playing more Fortnite, unlocking more stuff, skanking where I can. Mm-hmm. And that's fun. Working on some of the different unlocks as they have things tied to, buying all the items on the previous page of unlocks for the battle pass, that kind of stuff. I think they're opening up something pretty soon where you can get Superman, Clark Kent and Superman outfits that are pretty cool. So look forward to that. Let's see. Also been playing Flight Control HD on Steam.
Oh.
A game that I like a lot. Still holds up really well.
Mm-hmm.
But I had like two achievements left, I think, on it. One for just getting 200 points in a game, which ended up not being as bad as it seemed. Because there's one of the courses has these like stunt like goals you got to send your certain planes through.
Mm-hmm.
And they doubles their points pretty much as you go through them all. It's just a matter of having them go through and dealing with everything else kind of chaotically going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I eventually got it on that. The last one was essentially just play 200 games, which the game itself doesn't keep track of, at least outwardly. But you have to go to the game's local files, and there's like a specific text file that has a bunch of the stats in it.
Yeah.
You'll look at that, but it only updates when the next time you launch the game. So if you play a bunch and you open it up, it's not going to tell you what your new count is. But I put like 10 hours into the game, I think, before I was playing it recently. And I think it was under 100, like 90 games or so. So there's a lot of putting time into it, just playing a few games here and there. And eventually got it the other day. So now I don't have any reason to put more time into it, but still a very good game. Hopefully, I don't know. I would like to see a new game, but it seems like EA is done with all of this era of mobile games, which is a shame. Because that game still holds up pretty well. But there have been some clones of late, so
yeah.
There's hope for that. And the other thing I was playing is the Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster.
All right.
I got all three of them. Mm-hmm. From Green Man Gaming. They have them for about 36-38% off, something like that.
Yeah.
For the launch, so you can get all three games for about $26.
Nice.
So that's pretty good. I was playing Final Fantasy. And basically the graphics, they've updated to like SNES level of graphics. Even some cinematic stuff early on that looked like Mode 7 type of visuals.
Mm-hmm.
So that stuff all looks really nice. The font still doesn't look great. They might have tweaked it a bit from the early shots that they put out.
Yeah.
So it looks doesn't look as bad as that did, but it still doesn't look great.
Mm.
What else? I was having issues using my DualSense on it.
Mm.
So I was annoyed with that. I had to... even trying DS4 Windows wasn't necessarily working as well as I thought.
Mm-hmm.
The game would just have issues where it would lose control of the cursor and just constantly just keep moving it up. Even if I moved it down, that kind of thing, or if it that was working right, it wouldn't accept any face button input, so I couldn't actually do anything on the menus, that kind of stuff. So that was annoying, and I had to go back into the Steam input stuff, turn on the PlayStation configuration mm-hmm. and those settings to make it work. And that's how that ended up working. So for like the first hour or so, I was playing with an Xbox controller, but eventually got to play the DualSense working. So that's not too bad. But the this first game, I'm using a guide because I don't want to deal with any bullshit here about figuring out what's going on. The initial stuff, as you just go up and fight Garland, is mm. pretty simple because it just lets you go to one direction.
Yeah.
But after that, it kind of opens up a bit more, especially because mm-hmm. You can get a ship pretty quickly
mm-hmm.
To go, you know, around the world. So I've been just using this guide to look around and see kind of what's going on. Any sort of guide stuff for items to get and that kind of stuff, spells mm-hmm. and all that. And I have the default warrior, thief, black and white mage sort of a layout. That's kind of what it has on there by default. But the guy I was going with was like, yeah, it's probably the best one to go for. Unless you're trying for, you know, harder builds. But yeah, I ended up facing Garland. I knew that like grinding was a big part of the, at least the early parts of the game.
Oh, yeah.
You want to definitely grind a bit just to make mm-hmm. it less of a
hassle later on.
Yeah, like less of like a toss-up. So they've done a few things to make it more modern. There's no more, you know, you have all your people attacking the same enemy, and then you kill it with like the second one, and the other two just attack air. It just automatically moves it to the next enemy. So it just makes it like what the later games would do. What else? There's, I don't know what else there is. There's has like options for speed up battle.
Mm.
So you can get through the battles a little more quickly, you know, just auto pick attacks, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just does the basic attack by default, that kind of thing. So, so far so good. Definitely working on, some more of this about 3 or 4 hours in. So, mm-hmm. still pretty early, but, been good so far. Then I'm going to put some more time into it and work my way up to 2 and 3 and see how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's been pretty much it for me. How about you, Brandon?
Yeah, as for me, I am still playing Genshin Impact as usual. I'm now about adventure level 27. I got to get to 28 to start the next part of the story. And I, you know, being in the Liyue part of the game makes you appreciate the fact that this game really was made by Chinese developers because of how really, really Chinese the story gets towards this part of the game. There's a whole story arc that's based around you specifically trying to cook a specific dish in order to get the attention of certain... what they're called adeptus, but they're basically deities. and like one of them is specifically like a, one of the dishes you cook is like a specific reference to a very famous dish in Chinese cuisine that's notorious for being super decadent and over the top and takes like a lot of time to prepare. It's also like the only quote unquote 5-star dish that you can cook in the game as of right now because of the incredible amount of strength and armor it gives your character when you actually consume it. There's also a lot of stuff like revolving around, you know, martial arts schools and a guy who's like a book collector, and you find out that, you know, one of your characters that you're working with is like a collector of martial arts novels, you know, wuxia, and like talks like one of those characters from one of those books. There's a whole area of this game that is based off of one of my, I'm not sure if any of you guys have ever seen this old movie from the 80s called Zoo Warriors from the Magic Mountain. There's a whole part of the game that's almost entirely lifted from that movie. It's a great game, and the cherry on top was when I was talking to one of the other side characters that you get talking with. He's one of the characters that you can also, like, he's one of those characters, you know, you can get, actually play and get in one of those, you know, with what they call the wish system, which is where, you know, that's where the gacha mechanics come in. And while you're talking with him, he's very clearly an adeptus, even though he doesn't really do a good job of hiding it, but you're having a conversation with him, because he's apparently this Richie Rich dude who's helping you prepare the service for a funeral, and he's telling you like all this historical trivia, and you end up remarking, he's like, "Wow, you sure do know a lot about this stuff." And he says, and I quote, "I sure hope you don't mistake me for some bourgeois parasite who's only good for giving you mindless trivia." And I'm like, yeah, this is definitely a Chinese game. it's a lot of fun. I'm also playing Blackthorn, specifically the free edition you can get off of Blizzard's website, because I assure as hell I'm not paying them a dime for a while. You guys may, if any of you who listened to our Day Zero update last week, last Sunday, you may have heard about the fact that there's a couple of new games coming to the SNES Arcade on the Nintendo Switch. One of those games just so happens to be Claymates, which is a platformer game that was made by the people who were behind the old Clay Fighter series. And so I've been playing that, and I forgot, one, how difficult that game actually is, and two, how really unspecific the platforming is. Yeah, it's one of those types of old-school platformers. It's a very specific type of... Let me put it this way. If you were one of those people who, like, lived off the SNES like I did... Because remember, I didn't have a Sega system until the Dreamcast. this is one of those SNES platformers that you played a lot of. And I don't... Not specifically this game, but this type. Because it was basically all that European... pretty much all the European and British developers were putting out at the time. It's very kind of floaty. There's lots of uses of that whole weird flying floaty effect for like individual letters and the font. There's like a static background with like a bunch of sort of interconnected platforms. It's like that. On the one hand, it was very nostalgic because, like, yeah, I played so many of those types of games when I was a kid. I was like, yeah, this is just like it. And then I remembered, oh, right, now I remember why I also kind of hated these, because the platforming was so difficult, mostly because the controls were very, not very accurate. But, it's pretty fun. Really, other than that, it's just dealing with, the dog days of summer. Because, it got up to about 96 degrees here this week. And Friday, it got just about up to 100.
Ugh.
Yeah. Now, fortunately, I looked at the weather forecast, and temperature is supposed to go down back into the 80s next week. But how long that lasts, I don't know, because this is going to be August we're talking about, and... As far as summer heat in Georgia is concerned, August is usually the worst. But yeah, all that I will say though is that when August gets here, it's just a reminder that, you know, fall really is around the corner, and God, it cannot come here fast enough. Yeah, that's about all I got this week. You guys gonna want to add anything else before we move on?
Meh.
Nope.
No. All right. Well then, it's now time to move on to everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. So, this week, I wanted to talk about a little thing that happened back in the middle of the 1800s. So, because of this pandemic and everything, we've all sort of had to, well, basically redo a lot of things, you know, redo the way that we do work and regular business, right? You know, we all had to move into, a lot of us had to go back to our houses and start doing a lot of our business online. We had to do business meetings through Zoom, you know, stuff like that. Or, you know, at the very least, we had to, you know, do the things with the masks and the social distancing and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, stuff, you know, we just had to do all of that. And it was, it was very kind of discombobulating at first, but we all kind of got used to it. But, you know, the thing is, that's kind of a thing that happens, you know, whenever there's a pandemic that comes through. Sometimes it'll also happen when there's like a natural disaster of some kind, like, you know, an earthquake or something, or a tsunami. You know, people have to take a different recourse in order to be able to do regular, just regular things.
Mm-hmm.
But there's only been one known instance I know in history where people actually had to move the seat of government because the smell was getting so bad.
Oh my God.
Yes, this is a thing that happened in central London between July and August 1858, known as the Great Stink. And here's how and why it happened. So, do you guys know what the river is that runs through London?
Yeah, the Thames.
The River Thames, yes. Or the Thames, as I've sometimes heard it called. Now, the River Thames has always had a kind of
funk
to it, and it's always had kind of a bad reputation in general. As far back as the 1700s, there were people making, like, cartoons and woodcuts and stuff of, like, showing, like, you know, a microscope of, like, a drop of Thames water looks like, and it's like filled with like all kinds of like monstrous demons and mutated fish and stuff like that. The Thames, you got to understand, the thing about the Thames is that it was essentially the area where basically all the cesspits and industrial runoff and stuff made its way into. So the Thames infamously had this reputation for being a foul, disgusting thing, you know. And it got worse because 100 years before 1856, there had been 100 new sewers that had been constructed in London, and most of them ran back into the Thames. And by 1856, there was about 200,000 cesspits and 360 sewers. And here's the thing about that type of thing. You know what happens when that much human waste starts to collect in one place?
Oh, all sorts of nasty things.
Well, one of them is the fact that it starts leaking methane. And you know what happens when methane finds a spark?
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing also. This was not a new issue. People for a century up this point have been telling the Crown and Parliament that we need to get the ministries on this to improve and pay the money to undertake to reconstruct and rebuild and repair our sewage system, because if we don't, it's going to lead to a really nasty disaster at some point. Now, back then, they were probably referring to the methane explosions, which, again, were...
Valid point.
Then it got worse when people started introducing flushing toilets, which meant now you didn't have to worry about, you know, maybe pouring this stuff into a chamber pot and then maybe, you know, flowing it into a cesspit. No, now it could go directly into the sewer anytime people wanted it to. Then there came the outfalls, i.e. the runoffs and the refuse that came from factories, slaughterhouses, other industrial activities, which all of which either overflowed or discharged directly into the River Thames. Then, in the summer of 1858, there was a perfect storm of, shall we say, conditions. It was a very hot and balmy summer that year, which is bad enough, but there was also a drought. And what happens when a river that is already overflowing and gushing with human filth and you know, animal butcher organs and carcasses and industrial runoff, and then the actual water part of it starts to lower?
Oh, that's just nasty.
Oh, it was very nasty. It got so bad, that they had to temporarily move the seat of government from Parliament, from the Old Bailey, into the northern part of the country until the end of August.
Oh my gosh.
The outside was even worse. Michael Faraday, who was a scientist, once described that near the bridges, the feculents rolled up in clouds so dense that they were visible at the surface. Even in water of this kind, the smell was very bad and common to the whole of the water. It was the same as that which now comes up from the gully holes in the streets. The whole river was, for the time, a real sewer. Now here's where it gets even... Now here's another fun thing you gotta think about. Back in these days, the concept of the germ theory had not really been, shall we say, widely accepted. Instead, most Victorian healthcare practitioners followed what was known as the miasma theory, which held that, you know, most communicable diseases were caused by the inhalation of contaminated air. Now, as we know, there is a kernel of truth to that. As we here amidst the COVID pandemic have found out for ourselves. But back then, they believed that it was actually the contaminated air itself that caused disease and not any kind of organisms within it, which meant that there were an awful lot of people who thought that they were getting sick.
Oh.
And did I mention that this was just a couple years after a major cholera epidemic had hit London?
Oh, gun shy.
Yeah. So you're probably wondering, well, okay, so this is obviously horrifying. Oh, man. There was a article that was published in the Illustrated London News that was quoted as follows as this was happening. We can colonize the remotest ends of the earth. We can conquer India. We can pay the interest of the most enormous debt ever contracted. We can spread our name and our fame and our fructifying wealth to every part of the world, but we cannot clean the River Thames. because again, up to this point, there had been so many people that had been telling them, look, if we don't go ahead and fix this now, it's going to lead to something awful.
That's something awful.
Mm-hmm. There was a point in which Queen Victoria and her husband, and Prince Albert, her husband, decided, you know what, maybe it's not so bad, so we're going to go and show that old-fashioned British stiff upper lip, and we're going to take a little pleasure cruise on the Thames.
How long did that last?
That lasted about all but 5 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it got so bad that literally the papers were literally calling it the Great Stink. Like, literally, like, an article in the City Press was quoted as saying, gentility of speech is at an end. It stinks, and whoso once inhales the stink can never forget it and can count himself lucky if he ever lives to actually remember it. It's like, look, we can't keep up with the gentility anymore. This is terrible, and it smells like shit, and something needs to be done. And drastic measures were taken to try and keep out the smell. Inside the building of Parliament, before they finally decided they'd had enough and moved government actions up north, they tried to soak all of the curtains near the windows in lime chloride to overcome the smell. They started dumping limestone and lime chloride around sewer pipes and everything in hopes that it would keep the smell from going, you know, or at least contain it. At one point, Benjamin Disraeli, who was prime minister at that point, was on leaving the parliament and going up north of the country to continue government action. He was spotted leaving with a mass of papers in one hand and his pocket handkerchief applied to his nose because the smell was so bad. Yeah. There was even a satirical article in Punch commented that one absorbing topic in both houses of parliament was this conspiracy to poison question of the guilt of that old offender, Father Tams. There was the most ample evidence. 200 to 250 long tons of lime were being used near the mouths of sewers that discharged into the Thames, and men were employed spreading lime onto the Thames foreshore at low tide at 1,500 pounds per week.
Oh my God.
Keep in mind, this is the mid-1800s, so that's an awful lot of money.
That, yeah. Well, nobody had fleas, I'm sure. Wait, no, that's seven dust.
Yeah. Eventually, they finally got a man by the name of Joseph Bazalgette to finally come and move the effluent eastwards along a series of interconnecting sewers that sloped out towards outfalls beyond the metropolitan era. This started in early 1859 and lasted until 1875. There were pumping stations that were also placed to lift sewage from lower levels into higher pipes. Two of these ornate pumping stations actually are still around. Abbey Mills in Stratford and Crossness on Erith Marshes. He's also, Mr. Bazalgette, is where the three embankments to London came into existence. The Victoria, the Chelsea, and the Albert embankments. He's the guy who did that. Joseph Bazalgette is pretty much considered to be one of the guy who single-handedly helped clean up the River Thames. Now, keep in mind, the River Thames is still not perfect.
No.
It is still a notoriously muddy and dirty river. But we can now thank this man for the fact that it now doesn't get so bad that, well, it forced the government to almost leave the capital entirely. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. Yeah. Yeah, well, with that, it's now time to move on to the show proper. And as always with the show proper, we start off with our assholes of the week. And our asshole of the week is none other than Harvey Weinstein, who failed to get three charges of sexual assault thrown out this week.
Yep. This was sort of the attempt to kind of get rid of some of these charges.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, at a hearing this week over the Fultz Criminal Justice Center in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
But his attorneys did get the judge to agree that one of the charges should be amended.
Hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, the I'm trying to see what the one is. I'm not sure which one it is, but they're the third charge they were working on. They gave prosecutors permission to amend and refile it.
Hmm.
It's still going to be held back on these other charges.
Mm.
Facing 11 charges of rape and sexual assault from five different women.
Mm.
Pleaded not guilty to those charges last week.
Mm-hmm.
After being extradited from New York to L.A.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, he's still an asshole. But yep. We do have some heroes of the week to talk about. One is it was announced by the Biden administration this week that the end of U.S. combat missions in Iraq will be ending this year, by the end of this year.
Yeah. Sort of had Iraqi Prime Minister Mustafa al-Kadhimi in the Oval Office this past week.
Yeah.
Talking about winding down their sort of combat mission in Iraq by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of following their stuff going on in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
They will still have troops over there.
Yeah.
They're not going to be in active combat roles.
No, it's basically going to be just like, you know, pretty much any country that the U.S. has invaded over the last 50 years, 50 or 60, 70 years, and that there's going to probably be an American military base that's going to stay behind.
Yeah, and this sort of comes at Iraq's urging,
mm-hmm.
as they've had a lot of anti-American militias and such going on, and they want to calm them down.
Yep.
Yeah, they're still going to be there in like an advisory role.
Yeah.
Some training and that kind of stuff.
So, this 20-year-long quagmire is finally going to come to an end.
Yeah.
Well, 20 years. I don't think America actually went into Iraq until like 2003.
Yeah, 2003.
So it's like more like 18-year quagmire, but good.
Well, this all started with 9/11. That's why it feels like 20 years.
Yeah.
Iraq wasn't necessarily.
Had no part in it whatsoever. And
the country that was mostly involved in that has been getting off scot-free.
Yeah. But, and then our other hero of the week is Olympic athlete Simone Biles, arguably one of the greatest athletes of her generation. Who was forced to withdraw from her Olympics a bit to focus on mental health with an issue gymnasts sometimes call the twisties.
Yeah, it's sort of a thing where your body and your mind are not. Yeah, and she just kind of had that issue during the early parts of the Olympics, and it's kind of a hard thing to get over quickly.
Yeah, yeah. And it's important to point out, she didn't necessarily make this decision on her own. She did consult with other members of the team.
And doctors and all that.
Yeah. And they all decided, you know what, it would be better if you went and let someone else take your place.
Yeah, because if you don't have that all in sync, you can cause serious injury.
Yeah, and let's not even the fact that it could affect the overall team score as well, but that's obviously should not be part of the question, but unfortunately, a few asshats made it one.
Yeah, Piers Morgan. Found a new black woman he can attack.
Yeah, and of course, Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
The usual suspects, in other words.
It's like, she does not owe these people anything.
Nope.
She's been through enough shit in her life.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't owe people anything more than what she's given her. Given
them. Mm-hmm.
She's literally the best gymnast probably in the history of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So much so the number of moves that she has that have been named after her.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's been able to do them before.
Nope. But, let's see. Moving on from there, we move on to the proper show proper. And one of the big stories of this week is that we got the very first hearing of the House of Representatives January 6th committee. And they pretty much pulled out all the stops. They decided
the police in there.
Yeah, who were present when the insurrection went down, including a couple who were harassed and injured. One individual suffered really a nasty brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they showed body cam footage from officers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Fanone talked about how, I was at risk of being stripped of and killed with my own firearm as I heard Kance kill him with his own gun.
Mm-hmm.
I can still hear those words in my head today.
Yeah.
There's another one. Harry Dunn said that Trump supporters were hurling racial epithets at him
Mm-hmm.
Calling him the N-word, something he said he had never experienced while wearing his police uniform. Mm-hmm. Described afterward how he sat down with another black officer and told him about the racial slurs I endured.
Mm-hmm.
I became very emotional, began yelling, "How the blank could something like this happen? Is this America?"
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, there's Aquilino Gunnell, served in Iraq. So he's more afraid working at the Capitol on January 6th than at any point in serving a war zone. I remember thinking to myself, this is how I'm going to die, defending this entrance. Yeah, say Gunnell, who couldn't hug his wife when he returned home the following morning because he was covered in chemical spray.
Yeah.
Yeah, going at the continued GOP gaslighting to try to say, like, oh, this is just tourist visit.
Yeah.
Weren't any weapons, nothing like that
mm-hmm.
there. And it's like, yeah, it sure is not what actually happened.
But it wasn't good enough for a lot of the people at Fox News because both Carlson and Ingraham basically mocked all these people on their programs.
Yeah. Or Ingraham had
they did the like Sandy awards. Hook kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, these people don't actually care about cops if they're not, you know, kneeling on black people
mm-hmm.
and killing them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the cops himself said, you know, I was getting attacked by a bunch of people who were waving blue line flags. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
We had the GOP protested this
mm-hmm.
because they couldn't get any of their Trump lackeys on the panel.
Yeah.
But there was Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger.
Yeah. Both of them are Republicans. So, yeah.
But voted against Trump in the.
Mm-hmm.
The impeachment trial.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Oh boy. Well, another news. The Department of Justice is not going to be backing House Representative Mo Brooks on his January 6th lawsuits. He is on his own. So, yeah.
Yeah, so the Justice Department rejected a request by Alabama Republican Rep. Mo Brooks for legal mm-hmm. protection in court against a lawsuit linking him to the January 6th insurrection mm-hmm. at the U.S. Capitol. Sued by Eric Swalwell,
mm-hmm.
As well as others like Trump being sued for this.
Yeah.
For help inciting a mob of Trump supporters to invade mm-hmm. the Capitol.
Yep.
Justice Department says Brooks was engaged in campaign activity when he participated in the rally. That's not within the scope of his duties as a member of Congress. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't qualify for legal immunity for his actions, the department said.
Mm.
So yeah, good luck with that.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. In other words, suck it.
Yeah.
That infrastructure bill that we were talking about last week is finally coming up for a vote in the Senate. Although there might be some hiccups with that because a certain somebody decided to show their ass.
What's that?
Kristen Sinema. Yeah, she thought it was using too much money.
Really?
Yeah, what a shocker, right?
The thing that came out of this whole thing is this weird ass picture in the article you can see at the top.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, it's all these white people. Great.
Yeah.
Old white people, that's what we need.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully things go through. It needs 60 votes to pass.
Yeah.
At least Republicans are saying they're going to support it. We'll see if that actually comes to pass.
Yeah. But we can't really trust them, can we?
Nope.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. Do they give a timetable of when it's supposed to be up for a vote?
Sometime soon.
All right. All right, then. Well. And now, unfortunately, everybody get ready, make room. We gotta pull up the garage doors, get the keys out, because unfortunately, once again, after months laying dormant, it's time to back out the COVID-19 dump truck. Beep beep. Yeah. So, first story is CDC is now recommending fully vaccinated people wear masks indoors.
Yeah, at least for what they call areas with substantial and high transmission of COVID-19,
mm-hmm.
Which they have a map for that whereas basically all the is red, orange, like a pale yellow, and mm-hmm. blue. And like basically the red and orange are the high risk areas.
Yeah,
which covers much of the south.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, unfortunately. Basically, Virginia down, Virginia, Kentucky down, over to, you know, Indiana, Illinois, Missouri, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas, huge chunk of area there, yeah. all the way down, as well as a good chunk of the west, which I don't know how much that is factored by, you know, there's a lot of huge counties there.
Yeah.
Maybe not as many people in some of those areas, but good chunks of California, Oregon, Washington, all that.
Mm.
Whereas, like, it seems like the Ohio up to the northeast is having a bit of an easier time right now. Mm-hmm. They can easily change, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But I would suggest pretty much everybody do it.
Mm-hmm.
And not complain about it.
Yeah.
We'll get to why after the next story.
Yeah. First and foremost, next story is President Biden is pushing to require vaccinations for all federal workers. I am surprised this had not been done already, but
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, federal workers will be required to sign forms attesting they've been vaccinated against the coronavirus,
mm-hmm.
or else comply with new rules on mandatory masking, weekly testing, distancing, and more.
Mm.
Strict new guidelines are aimed at increasing sluggish vaccination rates among a huge number of Americans who draw federal paychecks, and just set an example for private employers around the country.
Mm.
I haven't seen too many big employers announce this kind of thing. I think it's Disney and Walmart right now.
Yeah.
Have announced requiring.
And the others will probably follow suit.
Yeah.
Roughly about, if I remember correctly, roughly about, I think it's 156 million of America's citizens have been fully vaccinated.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah. There's roughly about 300 million people in the United States total. So, unfortunately, that's just a little over half. Next up, we also found out that the new Delta variant, according to the CDC's recent report, it is spread as easily as chickenpox, which is a notoriously very easy to get disease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Causes more severe illness and spread as easily as chickenpox.
Mm-hmm.
According to these internal documents. Let's see. Yeah, they published this data Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It said everyone in school, students, staff, and visitors should wear masks at all times.
Mm.
Especially because there's a good chunk of kids that aren't able to get vaccines just yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like they are working on getting that stuff approved here in the next few months.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. CC presentation says the Delta variant is about as transmissible as chickenpox,
mm-hmm.
with each infected person on average infecting 8 or 9 others.
Mm-hmm.
The original lineage was about as transmissible as the common cold. Each infected person passing the virus to about 2 other people on average.
Mm-hmm.
That infectivity is known as R0.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about diseases that have an R0 of 8 or 9, there aren't that many, as the person they're talking to here says. If vaccinated people get infected anyway, they have as much virus in their bodies as unvaccinated people.
Mm-hmm.
It means they're as likely to infect someone else as unvaccinated people get infected.
Mm.
So they may not get affected as much as an unvaccinated person will.
Yeah.
But they're just as dangerous
mm-hmm.
For passing it on to other people.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, vaccines prevent more than 90% of severe disease, but may be less effective at preventing infection or transmission.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, more breakthrough and more community spread despite vaccination. Yeah, vaccines reduce the risk of severe disease or death tenfold and reduce the risk of infection threefold.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's not great. And we're getting a number of areas breaking records for cases.
Yeah.
At this point, more than we had at our peak last year.
Yeah.
In a number of places like Florida, I think I just saw is 30% of the country's cases.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
That's just one area. It's not great.
Yeah. Now, the good news is, fortunately, is that even though the cases are going up, the actual fatality rate has been going down.
Yeah.
Thanks to the vaccine.
Yeah. We just need more people to get the vaccine.
Yeah.
To lower their chances of serious issues.
And you're getting stories every day of people saying, you know, getting the COVID and getting seriously ill and, you know, asking their doctors, can I get the vaccine now? And they'll tell you, no, it's too late.
There's one doctor, the one in Alabama,
mm-hmm.
when they tell the family that's, you know, it's too late for that person, that they're mm-hmm. going to die.
Yeah.
And it's like, what can we do? It's like, get the vaccine.
Mm.
Do what they
can. Yeah, I was
do.
Reading about a guy somewhere in California. And father of five kids, and they had decided they weren't going to go and get the vaccine for a whole year because they thought it was too new and they were worried about long-term side effects. Yeah, he texted his fiance and the mother of his five children, ages 17 to 17 months. He's like, mm-hmm. I should have gotten that damn vaccine. And now he's dead.
Yep.
And the day that he was admitted to the hospital, the eldest child, who is 17 again, and mm-hmm. the mom went and got their fucking vaccines.
Yep.
I mean, what can we say to these people? Mm-hmm. Sorry you died, but sorry stupidity is a really big pandemic too.
Mm-hmm.
Why, don't fuck around so you don't find out. It's just getting hard to have empathy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
It is.
Because, I mean, it's like at some point, like, you know, we kept begging everyone. It's like, look, man, you got to get this thing in your arm. You know, and they're just too damn stubborn. You know, it's just it's like they stake their entire identity on the fact that they think they're too tough to get this disease and to have it kill them.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah.
That's pretty freaking sad.
But you should realize that once the FDA is able to get it so that the vaccines can be taken by children who are 12 years old and younger, it's then going to be mandated.
Mm-hmm.
So the basic thing is you can now either go ahead and get it willingly, or you can wait until they actually force you to get it.
Yeah.
The choice is yours, because it is going to happen.
Yeah, now they're talking about the prospects of getting a third shot mm-hmm. as a booster.
Yeah, booster shots, which is not something unusual. We all had to get our booster shots.
Exactly. Pretty sure I'm due for my Tdap one. So mm-hmm. the tetanus, diphtheria, pertussis. Yeah.
And I noticed some unusual misinformation lately. Like, I've heard people say, you know, no, I can't get the shot. It's too expensive. And I'm like, yeah, somebody apparently told them that it costs money to get the vaccine. No, it doesn't. It's completely free.
Yeah.
Yeah, though there are places that the way they handle that stuff is not the greatest.
Yeah, that is true.
Where they kind of put it up front for whatever mm-hmm. reason.
Yeah.
For people where it's just like, when I did it, you know, they asked if I had insurance or not. That's fine. And I said, yeah. Nope. And they figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
Paid nothing.
And so then
gets charged to Medicare or something like that.
Yeah. Here's one I've heard recently. I'm not sure if you've heard this one recently, but I heard this one this week. People claiming that people who got the vaccine were, quote, shedding the vaccine and making people around them sick.
That's one.
Yeah. That's not how vaccines work.
That might happen with a live one like polio way, way back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, when, like, my uncle was six.
Yeah.
He's really old now. That's not a thing.
They very specifically make sure that doesn't happen with every vaccine that has come out since.
Mm-hmm.
That is something they specifically look for. So, no, you cannot shed this vaccine.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw there's a supposed document of when other variants were going to be released.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of thing where it's like, no, that's not how this works. First off, this Delta variant's been around for since last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was like implying like every month there's going to be a new variant that goes down the Greek alphabet.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not how it works.
They're also on a witch hunt to make it out that Dr. Fauci invented this.
Yeah.
They're spinning. I mean, they're spinning hard. Mm. And, you know, sadly, there's a whole lot of people who are listening and are taking it hook, line, and sinker. And I don't know what the fuck to do about people like that.
Yeah.
That's over our pay grade, you guys.
Yeah.
And yeah. We just have to see other people getting the vaccine, especially family and friends, and seeing that they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hopefully that convinces them.
Hopefully. Hopefully it won't be too fucking late for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The story I saw about the kid that survived the Parkland shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad is fallen into the QAnon conspiracy about it.
Yeah.
Being, you know, staged and all that. It's like your own dad not being, believing that you were, you know, involved in that and that your schoolmates didn't die somehow.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotta be tough. Yeah.
Those all crisis actors.
Yeah.
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 Anyway. Yeah. And then, of course, you got individuals like Governor DeSantis, who is apparently doing everything in his power to make sure that this virus becomes as virulent and deadly as possible.
Because he's sticking it to the man by being so subversive and going against what all the Democrats want, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Also,
Had the shot, probably, don't you guys think?
Oh, I'm pretty sure pretty much every person in Congress and every single governor in the United States has had the shot at one point or another.
Yeah.
It would be required by their employers.
Mm-hmm. I know for a fact that every person on Fox News has gotten the shot because they have to.
Mm-hmm.
And then we mentioned earlier about the fact that, you know, Walt Disney World is going to mandate that all their employees get vaccinated. And how much you want to bet that DeSantis is going to try and go against that? I'm going to say probably not.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to fuck with Disney.
Yeah, the mouse brings in like a good over a to like well over like 30 to 35 to 39% of the state's income. So
yeah.
Also, I mean, at this point, Walt Disney World is all virtually its own city state. So
yeah,
Only thing that's keeping it from happening is that the mouse hasn't gotten its own military yet. Yeah, but
I just cannot believe him trying to pull funding from school districts that are requiring masking.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these schools are servicing children 12 and under.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's definitely part of the death cult.
Yeah.
I know people remember that whenever he has any other political aspirations.
Well, anybody who's noticed is that the biggest hotspots are all in red states, like my state of Georgia, which basically means that they're killing all of their voters.
I don't know how they expect this to work out for them. I mean, you guys have heard the parable about the mouse and the grasshopper?
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, the ant and the grasshopper. These guys are grasshoppers for sure. They're not even thinking ahead to winter, mm-hmm. you know, let alone, midterms and then the next election.
Yeah. And the thing is, when the winter does come around and we have another epidemic come through, another epidemic spike, unlike last year, it's going to specifically be in a couple of specific spots instead of the whole country.
Yeah, it's true. I look at Missouri, I mean, holy shit, that place is a train wreck.
Yeah.
And it apparently hasn't fully hit St. Louis just yet. the numbers are going to be behind, but I think about another week or two, because it's been concentrated out in the more rural areas of Missouri. And now in Missouri, people are disguising themselves and sneaking in to get basically back alley vaccinations so that their family doesn't toxically harass the shit out of them for doing that. And and I'm gonna go and bitch about the Bible Belt being part of this problem.
Yeah,
in that many places they have a horrible idea of, well, I'm covered by the blood of God, so I am immune to this COVID-19. He's going to protect me. No, you're not. And they think, they may not consciously think this, but it's like if they do go and get the shot, that makes their Christianity and their faith lesser. And so they will do everything in their fucking power not to go out and get that shot. And it doesn't help that, you know, some of the preachers are even saying, oh, no shots. If I find out you have the shot, I'll kick you out of my church.
Yeah.
There is no room in the 21st century for this bullshit.
Yeah. I'm, the church that my parents go to, they only recently, stopped the mask recommendation a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And they only recently stopped doing the, having to get a reservation to attend so that, you know, they don't have too many people in the building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. How much you want to guess that's going to last much longer?
Well, I would say that it would depend on the vaccination rates in your church.
Well, I can tell you that map that we just looked at on that article. Yeah, my county is in the red, so...
Damn.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not surprising, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But it's...
So they're probably going to end up... I would not be surprised if by the time November rolls around, they're going to end up, you know, shutting the church down again and doing services online again.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure... this is my long-term prediction. I'm pretty sure that post Thanksgiving, everything's just going to be more crazy than we possibly could imagine at the moment.
Yeah, unless you're lucky to live in one of those places where most people have been getting the vaccine or trying to get the vaccine or not opposed to getting the vaccine and have been paying attention to social distancing and trying to be relatively hygienic. You'll be fine. Like I said, it's only going to happen in a couple parts of the country. Not the whole country like last year.
Well, maybe. I do think that some people who were fairly halfway diligent last year are going to just throw up their hands and say, ah, fuck it, this year. Sometime last week, we got an email, and there are plenty of signs up all over our building, 170 condo units here, with a mask mandate back in place.
Yep.
And I have seen maybe 30% compliance so far.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if can people be fined for doing this? I mean, I'm in an HOA. We can be fined for fucking anything, although people never get fined, really.
Yeah.
Except for that one guy who epically let one of his friends clog up the toilet in the locker room on New Year's Eve. It was finable bad.
Yeah.
People are gross.
Yeah. But
I can't understand why people aren't doing what they need to do to protect their neighbors. We have 3-year-old twins in this building. Come on, people, mask up. And it is increasingly, I'm probably bitching about the same thing I talked about last time, is increasingly hard to advocate for them when no later than yesterday, I ran into the two twins and the mom trying to get in the elevator. None of them masked.
Ugh.
It's like, I care more about her kids than she does.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate it.
Mm. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for the dump truck this week. We're going to go ahead and wheel it back into the garage. Stand by next week and see if we end up having to roll it back out again. Because we probably will.
Yeah, keep the oil changed on this one.
Yeah, because we thought we were past this shit. Ew. No. Anyway, next up, we're going to go on to some Olympic news from the Olympics. First story, Pink, famous pop singer Pink, offers to pay any fines the Norwegian women's beach handball team gets. For those of you who are wondering why this is happening, it's because they were given, the Norwegian women's beach handball team were given these weird, like, bikini uniforms that they very much did not want to wear. So if they do not wear them, they will be fined.
Yeah.
So Pink decided to step in and say, you know what, you guys go ahead and do what you want. I'll pay the cost.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they did go with the shorts, I believe. They get fined essentially 1,500 euros.
Yep.
Or about $1,700 US. Mm-hmm. She tweeted, let's see, the European Handball Federation should be fined for sexism. Good on you, ladies. I'll be happy to pay your fines for you. Mm-hmm. Keep it up. So this requires them to wear bikini bottoms while men wear shorts. But yeah,
Norwegian, so uncomfortable.
Yep.
Yeah, the Norwegian Handball Federation did contest the decision seen by the Norwegian team and several others as unfair. Announced earlier that it was ready to pay the fine. And so the European Handball Federation is seemingly going to be ready to sort of change this in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Basically saying that they would donate the amount paid by the Norwegian Handball Federation to a major international sports foundation which supports equality for women and girls in sports.
Mm-hmm.
We are very much aware of the attention the topic has received over the past days, and while changes cannot happen overnight, we're fully committed that something good comes out of this situation right now, which is why the EHF has donated the fine for a good cause promoting equality in sports. So at least something good will come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I assume this rule will be changed in the future.
I would hope so.
There's no reason for them to have to wear bikinis other than men set these rules.
Yeah. Ugh, anyway. Yeah, that was just really gross. In good news, though, the number of LGBTQ athletes at Tokyo is over triple the numbers that were at Rio's last time. So,
yeah, that's about 180. Mm-hmm. Publicly out gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, non-binary athletes.
Yep.
In Tokyo right now.
Mm-hmm.
This article has like a list of as many of them as they knew about.
Yep.
And I've been adding stuff after the initial post.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great to see. I believe they basically said that the LGBTQ team of sorts had surpassed Canada, their totals. In medals.
Nice.
So, sizable amount of people.
Mm-hmm.
It includes athletes all around the world.
Yeah. So, good on them. Good on them.
Yep.
Also, this week we got a gold medal winner, Sumisa Lee, the first Hmong American to make the U.S. team. The Hmong, for those of you who don't know, are an ethnic group originally from Vietnam that were largely sided with the United States and the Vietnam War, which you know what that means after the war ended.
Yeah.
They had to get on boats and flee the country. Or a lot of them did. There's actually still Hmong in Vietnam.
Yeah, they're all throughout Southern Asia.
Yeah.
Like in China, Southern China, that kind of stuff. So
mm-hmm.
a lot have moved over to U.S., including in Minnesota, where the largest community is.
Yep.
So, yeah, she managed to step up in Simone Biles' spot, managed to win the gold here.
Yeah.
Be the first of her people to get on the U.S. Olympic team in general, as well as obviously the first to win a gold and all that. Yep. So, great news for her.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good stuff in this article.
Oh, yeah.
Especially how, because her routine that she does is intentionally harder than the average one.
Yeah.
So it's a bit tough to pull out, but she is, she did it.
Mm-hmm. That she did.
Yeah, Laos, Vietnam, and parts of southern China.
Mm-hmm.
That sided with the U.S. during the Vietnam War.
Yep.
And her parents were kids that fled Laos to come to the U.S.
Yeah. Laos, by the way, if you think Laos is another example of a country that damn near got bombed into the Stone Age by the U.S. during that war. So modern day Laos and Vietnam are pretty tight with each other. Good on her. Good on her. That's a hell of an achievement. And finally, for the Olympics, we got Katie Ledecky, who won her third 800 meter freestyle gold medal in a row. Wow.
Yeah, won in the last three Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the second place was an Australian named, let me see, what is it? I think it's Ariane Titmus.
Mm-hmm.
And her time is the highest for anybody that's not named Katie Ledecky.
Mm.
How many times has Katie Ledecky done better than that?
Mm.
How many do you think? They showed the stats after this. You guys want to guess?
I have no idea.
Okay. She had the top 23 times in the history of the event.
Damn.
Her time in this gold medal was the, I think, 16th best. So even wasn't her best.
Mm-hmm.
And the second place finisher is the, I think, the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
Best in the world, which is better than anybody else has ever done against her. Then Katie Ledecky is one of the most decorated athletes in Olympics history.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she's going to at least come to 24.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
I forget which one is in 2024.
Pretty sure it's Paris, yeah.
Yeah, I'll double check.
Yeah, you might want to double check because I'm not as sure of that as I just made myself sound like.
Yeah, that is Paris.
All right.
So she says she's going to go to that in maybe 28.
Mm-hmm.
She won her first gold medal when she was 15.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep.
All right. So moving on from there to the rest of the news. You guys remember back when Martin Shkreli was arrested, and we found out that he was the guy who bought that one-of-a-kind Wu-Tang album.
Yep.
The group recorded and made only one copy of. Yeah. Well, it's been seized by the government and has since been sold.
Yeah, to make money towards what he owes them.
Yep.
For all of his shit.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully whoever bought it can just, you know, put the whole thing on YouTube.
Like, there is a stipulation that the person can release it for free on the internet.
Yeah.
They can't charge for it for, I think, 88 years.
Yeah.
So that's still a ways off, but no idea who owns it now.
Oh, we'll see, I guess.
The acting United States attorney for the Eastern District in New York announced that they have sold the one-of-a-kind album.
Mm-hmm.
His payment of the forfeiture is now complete, so
mm-hmm.
potentially that paid for the whole bill.
Yeah. All right. By the way, just briefly going back to the COVID stuff, it was just announced that New Orleans has run out of capacity to respond to 911 calls.
Wow, that escalated quickly.
Yep.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some in Missouri that I think have had that issue where they even called hospitals in neighboring states and they couldn't spare anything either.
Yeah.
For beds for the ICU.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, all right. Next up, Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, is pulling all of his MyPillow ads from Fox News because they won't air his bullshit.
Yeah.
There's a reason they will not air his bullshit, but you go ahead quickly.
Yeah, so I think he wanted to have a special ad calling attention to a new quote-unquote cyber symposium that he intended to stream in August, which he asserted will prove that Trump did win the 2020 election. Those claims have been rejected by dozens of courts in the months since Election Day last November.
I think it was like 60-1.
something like that. But yeah, he accounts for 38% of their ad revenue.
Yeah, he's actually their top advertiser.
Because nobody else wants to advertise with them.
Yeah, I think the second one that they have is Nutrisystem. But yeah, he is their top advertiser, and they apparently lose a lot of advertising money from this. But see, there's a reason they're willing to go through with this. You know what it is?
What?
They're being sued for billions of dollars by Dominion.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. So they just sort of looked as, okay, we could either lose potentially only $18 million something dollars from this guy, or we could end up losing the whole damn company.
Yep.
So they was like, okay, weigh the cost and benefits. Yeah. Pretty obvious what the choice was there. Yeah. So yeah, that happened. So I guess that means he's going to be putting all of his advertisements at OAN and Newsmax, I'm guessing.
Good luck to him.
Yeah.
He knows you can just put this on YouTube, right?
Yeah, but...
they will allow it, but... they probably
They probably will not. After
YouTube doesn't have an audience.
Yeah. So yeah, finally, in science news, years and years and years ago, when Einstein was still alive, he theorized that you could detect light from behind a black hole. This week, astronomers actually detected light from behind a black hole, proving once again that Einstein was right.
Yeah. Yeah, he predicted the ability of a black hole's gravity to bend light around it in 1916.
Mm-hmm.
It had never been confirmed until now.
Yep.
This was using European Space Agency's XMM Newton and NASA's New Star space telescopes. Researchers were observing the black holes that flung X-rays out into the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Black hole's about 10 million times more massive than our sun. It's located in the center of a nearby spiral galaxy called Izwicky.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1.8 billion light years away from Earth. After observing a series of bright flares of X-rays, something unprecedented occurred. More flashes that were smaller, later in different colors than their predecessors, according to a study published this week. Mm-hmm. In the journal Nature, the echoes of light appeared consistent with X-rays reflected from behind the black hole, a very strange place for light to originate. So the gravitational pulls are so powerful that light cannot escape them. However, light can echo, wrapping around the black hole, the celestial phenomenon, and allow astronomers to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, any light that goes into that black hole doesn't come out, so we shouldn't be able to see anything that's behind the black hole.
Yeah.
The reason we can see that is because the black hole is warping space, bending light, twisting magnetic fields around itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so that's kind of how powerful the tools we have are right now.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, they weren't even looking for this.
Nope.
They're originally attempting to uncover the mysteries of an odd feature of black holes known as the corona,
mm-hmm.
the source of the bright X-ray light.
Yeah.
Just happened to notice this other thing that helps confirm the theory of relativity.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
All right. Alrighty then. Next up. After 25 years, the PBS is ending the show Arthur.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty much the end of that story. Yeah, that show's been on literally, like, that show has literally been on for 20 years of my life, basically. Like, well, 25 years. I'm like 35. Yeah. God, that is a long-ass time.
Yeah, the show developer, Kathy Wow,
mm-hmm.
Broke the news in an interview on Finding DW podcast with voice actor Jason Schwimmer.
Mm-hmm.
Or Zwimmer, whatever. Arthur is no longer in production. We had a wrap party 2 years ago. I think PBS made a mistake, and I think Arthur should come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm not alone in thinking that they made a mistake. I don't know if it was a ratings issue or if it felt like it needed to be retired. To me, it felt evergreen, like it was never going to end, but it did end. We finished the last episode of season 25 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, first aired in 96.
Mm-hmm.
From the books that started in 1976.
Mm-hmm.
And the final season will air winter of 2022.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild how far ahead they are of that.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, Lord. Yeah. Next up, Scarlett Johansson is suing Disney over Disney Plus's release of Black Widow.
Yeah, particularly because her residuals for it were based on box office.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, things changed with COVID, and that caused them to do a Disney Plus premium release.
Mm-hmm.
And she is suing to get her fair share of that part of the the revenue as well, which I can definitely see that being a issue. So that they, you know, tried to, you know, talk to them ahead of time to get this amended to cover this, because they're fine with it as long as they're getting paid fairly for it. But seems like it, yeah, is going to be interesting to see how this plays out, as well as much of Hollywood is seeing how this goes.
Mm-hmm.
As other actors are sort of looking at, I think Emma Stone has said she's considering a suit over the Cruella movie.
Yeah.
We had the similar thing. It was going to be a theater release. And
yeah.
Got the premium Disney Plus release. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of Disney Plus, the Hawkeye Disney Plus series will be out on November 24th.
Yeah. The most exciting show ever.
Yeah.
About the man that can shoot arrows.
Yeah. And it's probably going to be, you know, a lot of people are probably going to be watching as much of it as they can by that time this year, because, well, what we just discussed earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting. I think it's just going to be end up with Jeremy Renner stepping down from the Hawkeye sort of role and letting his daughter take over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next up, you guys remember the last Suicide Squad movie, right?
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I remember coming out. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, that, you know, ended up somehow winning an Oscar for Best Makeup Effects. Yeah.
I mean, that part was pretty decent.
Yeah. Just the rest of the movie that sucked. Well, the director of that movie, David Ayer, is claiming that there's actually an Ayer cut that's much better.
Yeah. Posted a letter on Twitter sort of praising James Gunn's work on the new Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
But also saying, I put my life into Suicide Squad. I made something amazing. My cut is intricate and emotional journey with some bad people who are shit on and discarded. A theme that resonates in my soul. Yeah. So your cut is not my movie. Read that again. And my cut is not the 10-week director's cut.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fully matured edit by Lee Smith, standing on the incredible work by John Gilroy. It's all Stephen Price's brilliant score, with not a single radio song in the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
He continued, it has traditional character arcs, amazing performances, and a solid third act resolution. Mm-hmm. A handful of people have seen it. If someone says they have seen it, they haven't.
Yeah.
I was like, sure.
Uh-huh.
Like, maybe it's better. Mm. That's not really saying much.
Yeah.
The original movie is not all that great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll probably happen because HBO knows it can draw more people to subscribe.
Yeah.
It's not like it's a new idea anyway. Director's cuts.
Yeah.
Something that Zack Snyder invented. Just look at how many cuts of the Aliens movies there are.
God, look at how many cuts there are of Blade Runner.
Yeah, that too. Of which they all just seem to be marketing driven.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much from, who was it, Ridley Scott? Was it his?
Yeah.
It's like he didn't even have that much to really change in those.
Mm-hmm.
Much of those that he did.
Yeah.
A lot of them are just like, oh, we maybe put an extra scene that we cut so that you don't have to watch it in the deleted scenes section.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
God, look at how many cuts there are of the original frickin' Star Wars trilogy.
Oh my God, right?
Yeah. Thanks, George Lucas. Ugh. Yeah. Next up, Sweet Tooth got renewed for a second season at Netflix.
So, oh, yeah. People need to watch that show.
Yeah.
It's worth watching. And yeah, they're going to be working on the new season. I don't know when, but hopefully out by next year.
Mm-hmm. And
they did pretty well with some interesting stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. And finally, for tonight, we got a new trailer for Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yeah, it's still a weird-ass movie.
Yeah.
For as much as people bellyached about the all-women's cast movie, like, that was at least...
original?
Yeah, it was original. It was an idea that was in the spirit of what the original two movies were.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, having these comedians coming together for an action movie of sorts.
Yeah.
And this one feels like The Force Awakens. Mm. And the way this trailer puts it is like the mom and the kids that find the, you know, the old, whatever, the thing that catches the ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Then the old Ghostbusters mobile, the Ecto One, that kind of thing. And it's like, okay, why is it stashed out here in the middle of nowhere? And I guess they'll explain that, but then it also ends with a bit of, I think, Dan Aykroyd in like a pawn shop being involved somehow. I don't know. Also, the weird thing where they repeatedly show them like watching the original like ad they do in the original movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the real cheesy one.
Yeah.
Public access kind of thing, like watching on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
It's titled like New York City Ghostbusters 1984.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, this is a very different thing that's just like nostalgia bait, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it may still be good, but it's not necessarily a Ghostbusters movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just seems about trying to please the people that love the originals while not doing the thing that they complained was the issue with the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's by the son of the guy that directed the original movie, so
mm-hmm.
it puts an interesting spin on it, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's out in November.
Mm-hmm.
Exclusively in movie theaters.
Yeah.
Sure, we'll see how that goes.
Pirate Bay.
Mm-hmm. well, that's I think we do have ourselves a show, folks. I do believe we have a show. So I would like to remind all of our listeners to get a question, comment, or something you want us to read on the air. You can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We'll have it linked for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not on there, just wait a minute. We get on there as soon as we find out that a new one exists. So, with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. And for Chris Logie and Teresa Sammons, I'm going to say good night, sleep tight. And again, if you have not gotten it yet and you are able to, please get vaccinated. Because I would like to be able to stop having to go out to buildings and wearing a mask inside of them at some point in my life.